Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
We've got some bittersweet basketball. The Opals booked their ticket to Paris, but the GOAT will not be on the plane. Do you think that she'd have to fly underneath? Sorry. In some other news, Pipeline is absolutely for the girls, and not a single woman has been named on Sportico's top 100 highest paid athletes.
That story is devastating.
It really is. I'm shocked you're not on there, actually.
On the top 100, yeah. I was 101. For the key.
Thousand. Million, maybe.
For the key story, we'll chat to Heather Harmon-Michael, whose video we shared on our socials recently. She used some seriously impressive investigative skills to call out a troll. It was awesome.
I don't often watch a full reel that goes for that long, but I enjoyed every single second of that one.
It was seriously good. My name is Chloe Dalton, and I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. We're recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds.
In basketball, so the Opals have qualified for Paris 2024, but they will be getting on that plane without the GOAT, aka Lauren Jackson. The Aussies defeated Brazil in game one of the FIBA Olympic qualifying tournament by 2 and then stamped their ticket to Paris with a dominating performance against Germany. It will be the 10th Olympics for the Opals, and it was fitting that captain Tess Madgett, I reckon she's really underrated. You can see she actually really gels the team together well as well.
Mm-hmm.
She led the charge with an impressive 15 points in the deciding match against Germany that the Aussies won 85-52. And just a little postscript, they beat Serbia by 2 points this morning as well on Monday.
How good. As you said, Bez, it was pretty bittersweet with the Opals legend Lauren Jackson, one of the world's greatest basketballers, announced her retirement from international basketball. Despite her amazing comeback and the role that she played in helping the Opals qualify for the Olympics, the 42-year-old icon confirmed she won't be joining the team in Paris. She's a 4-time Olympic medalist, and she made her mark in the Opals win against Germany, scoring 9 points after coming off the bench in the first quarter. Her incredible contribution showcased her resilience and love for the game. In a post-game interview, she said, "I'm done. I love Brazil. Brazil has been very good to me. How fitting that I get to finish my national career with Australia in Brazil. It's very special." She later wrote on social media, "When I say this has been a privilege, I mean it. I love these girls so much."
Feels. They have an incredible record at the Games, and they'll be chasing their 6th Olympic medal in Paris, having reached the podium in 5 consecutive games between 1996 and 2012. But as we said, they will be doing it without arguably one of the greatest to ever do it. So big thank you to LJ. And if you want to say thank you in person, make sure you get tickets to see the Flames play LJ's Southside Flies this Sunday at Kudos Bank Arena.
Yeah, that was a great segue.
Get there and let's make some history.
Absolutely. In surfing, what a final. The Pipe Masters has been the subject of a lot of discussion over the last couple of weeks, and not all of it was great, Bez. The World Surf League, the WSL, was criticised earlier in the waiting period for not running the contest on a huge pipeline day. There were many that felt that the WSL put the contest on hold to suit the surfers more comfortable in smaller waves, and a few of those armchair critics were definitely referring to women in that case. Fast forward a few days, and the WSL had the last laugh when finals day was run in perfect conditions on the North Shore of Hawaii. Molly Picklam, the 21-year-old New South Wales surfer, made history scoring the first perfect 10 by a woman at the famous Pipeline Break. How cool is that?
She was killing it.
She is like next gen. Yeah. We've gone Lane, we've gone the Stephs, the Tylers, the Sallys, who are still obviously going and killing it, but like she is really making her mark, Molly, isn't she?
She really is.
I got distracted by just a little fangirl moment. Anyway, her semi-final against Betty Lou Sakura Johnson was deemed one of the best ever women's heats on the championship tour. Pickles, as she's known, was a beast in the barrels of both pipe and backdoor, and she earned a spot in the final against American Katie Simmers. She started with an epic 9.27 but couldn't find a backup score, and Simmers clinched victory with a score of 12.66 to Picklam's 10.64.
As you said, it was a real changing of the guard moment. I think Chrissa was surfing her last ever. Chrissa Moore was surfing her last ever event. She unfortunately got rolled in the second round. Steph's taken some time out. So it was it was fitting and almost prophetic that Pickles, who's 21, I like Pickles.
I love Pickles.
Also, it's Cheech's dog's name and I'm just here for it. And Simmers, who's only 18, like really just said, all right, see you later, ladies. We're taking over here. Simmers spoke about surfing the legendary break with Picklem, saying, Molly's a guru. She's probably the best girl out here, in my opinion. One heat out here is like months of experience, and getting barreled in a heat with your friend is the most fun thing in the world.
That's cool.
And it's interesting that she talks about that experience. So women were not allowed to surf the Pipe Masters before 2020. But not shockingly, the more that women surf the wave, spend time in the water at Pipe, and even get a slither of the exposure to the conditions that the men enjoy, the better they get.
Wow, it's like a metaphor for women's sport in general, isn't it?
Give them the opportunity. Wow.
Wow.
There were a ton of pundits calling it a pivotal day in women's surfing, but it was Simmers who summed it up really, saying in the water immediately after a victory, Pipeline is for the effing girls.
How good is that?
She nailed it.
In the World Aquatics Championships, Madison Keeney and Dominic Bedgood won the mixed 3-meter springboard gold at the World Aquatics Championships in Doha on the weekend. They left the best for last, attempting and nailing the most difficult dive in the final on their last attempt. The Aussies finished with 300.93 points, comfortably in front of Italy in silver with 287.49 and South Korea on 285.03. Excuse me, who took home bronze. Overall, it was Australia's best performance in diving, winning 2 golds, 2 silvers and a bronze.
Nice.
And in water polo, the Aussie Stingers have booked their spot in the quarterfinals with a massive 20-8 win over Great Britain. Ooh, it's got to hurt.
Do we insert joke about?
I knew it was coming.
Just Great Britain and swimming in general. Not a lot of ocean.
I'm moving on so we don't get in trouble. The win comes after a loss to Hungary in game 3
for the bombs.
Stingers. The battle between the rivals was as fierce as ever, but the Hungarians again got the better of the Stingers, winning 13-9. Australia will now face the USA in the quarterfinals on Tuesday at midnight, AEDT, and all will be live on 9 now. Tilly Kearns said after the Great Britain game, we now move on to playing the USA in the quarterfinals. We're both fast and relentless teams and have things to prove. We are motivated and ready. It will be a cracking game.
In cricket, the multi-format series against South Africa has been enthralling. The 50-over ODIs wrapped up on the weekend and the Aussies emerged victorious, getting the points with a rain-affected 110-run triumph. After a surprise loss in the second match, captain Alyssa Healy, with a stellar knock of 60, laid the groundwork for the Aussies' formidable total of 277/9. Beth Mooney, slow to start, then rolled into action with an unbeaten 82, setting a very challenging target for the Proteas. Missing opening bowler Megan Shute, Australia faced a hurdle, but Kim Garth stepped up with a breakthrough, dismissing Proteas captain Laura Woolvart, caught behind. Talia McGrath joined the party, enticing Tasman Brits and Marizan Kapp into dismissals, putting the Proteas in a tough spot at 4/63 before rain interrupted play. When the match resumed, leg spinner Alana King wreaked some havoc. She secured a career-best 4/26. South Africa just couldn't play King's spin, and they lost too many wickets without adding any runs. Kim Garth sealed the deal, bowling out Ayanda Halib, and the Proteas were all out for 127 in the 25th over. The win puts Australia back in control of the multi-format series, setting the stage for the upcoming one-off test match in Perth. To draw the series on points aggregate, South Africa must win that crucial test match.
In a bit of dollars and cents news.
Dollars.
Last week, Sportico released its list of top 100 highest paid athletes. Not a single woman made that list. Actually, there was not even a woman in the top 200 earners. Scary. Coco Gauff was the highest paid female athlete in 2023 with $22.7 million, not even close to number one earner Cristiano Ronaldo's $275 million. And Coco was almost $10 million away from the $32.5 million cutoff to even make the top 100. Whoa, the gap is huge, especially in team sports. In the WNBA, Erica Wheeler was the top earner, bringing in $242K in 2023, while Steph Curry earned $51.9 million on the court this year. It's a similar story in football, where salaries for women peak at $500,000, which is light years away from a men's football paycheck, Bez.
There's hope that new deals in the NWSL, NCAA, T20 cricket in India, and we've spoken about all of these amazing new CBAs and things that have occurred in the last 12 months, that there will be more opportunities for women to receive the exposure required to earn larger contracts. And I think importantly, endorsements.
Mm.
I think it's really important to understand that there's a good amount of that money is actually made through endorsements as well. There's also the matter of the Saudi Arabia influencing the payday for athletes such as Ronaldo, who plays for a Saudi Arabian club. The huge investment that has seen also golfers earning skyrocket. There was a whole heap of LIV golfers in that top 50-odd. And the country's attempt to engage in women's sports, we could see a similar result. But, yeah, I think the stark contrast between, well, the fact that there's not even an athlete in the top 200 is quite shocking. And it's really something that people need to stop and be aware of. When we talk about equality, it's not even close.
It's not even close. And I think we do often talk on the podcast, like I really liked that Steph Curry v Sabrina Ionescu example that we talked about with the 3-point shootout for All-Star Weekend. We've got athletes like Ionescu at college level. You've got your Caitlin Clarks. There's so many female athletes now who are really, really challenging, not only bringing in viewership broadcast numbers, but really challenging and really pushing the boundaries of where female athletes have gone before from a commercial and Instagram following type realm. And so it's just so slow for them to catch up. Like it's so slow for that financial component of it to always be playing catch up.
Yeah. There's always like... We just keep saying, we talk about ROI, return on investment for your investment into the women's game. It's huge. It just needs to be more.
Mm. In a bit of no one watches women's sport news, let's provide some more data to prove that return on investment, Bez. There's new research from the Women's Sports Trust, the WST, showing that a record 46.7 million UK viewers tuned into women's sport on linear TV, breaking the previous mark set in 2019 by nearly 1 million. The report also showed that the average viewing time spent watching women's sports on free-to-air and cable TV increased 16% year on year. The 2023 Women's World Cup was a huge driver for these numbers. 15.6 million people watched the World Cup who didn't watch women's sport before the tournament.
That's huge, massive, isn't it?
Yeah. 43% of those new viewers went on to watch more women's sport after the tournament, with 33% watching the WSL, 12% tuning in for golf's Solemn Cup, and 9% enjoying cricket's The 100.
So wait, Chloe, are you telling me that if you really promote something, put it on free-to-air, make a buzz about it, and people watch it, they might keep watching women's sport?
Would you believe it?
That's shocking. That is shocking to me.
Heard it here first. Attendances also continue to grow, with 2.6 million people attending a women's sport event in 2023 compared to 2.1 million in 2022. That's a huge amount of growth. It's half a mil, according to additional data provided by Two Circles.
So good. Those numbers are great. And It, you know, sarcasm aside, it is really important that you take these kind of marquee events, like we've got the Olympics coming up, but obviously the World Cup was a perfect example, especially in somewhere like Great Britain in the UK. Live and breathe football.
Mm-hmm.
The Lionesses obviously did very well. It was, I'm sure, very well advertised over there on free-to-air. And 43% of those new viewers, and we're not talking other viewers, those new viewers went on to watch more women's sport after the tournament.
Because they got a taste for it and they enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I often wonder like how much of that is also relates to getting to know the players.
Mm.
It's so important to have a relationship with a team, with individuals and things like that. I just think it's so key. We can't lose sight of the fact that we need to put these athletes to the forefront more often.
Absolutely.
In athletics, Jemima Montag broke her own national 20-kilometre walk record at the Australian 20-kilometre race walking championships in Adelaide on Sunday. She took 7 seconds off her previous best time, stopping the clock at 1 hour, 27 minutes and 9 seconds. Montag finished 6th at the Tokyo Olympics and is in exceptional form heading into Paris, making her a genuine medal chance at this year's Games. The victory was her 6th consecutive Australian 20-kilometre racewalk title, and the field included Olympic silver medalist Lorena Arenas from Colombia and 4-time world champ Louis Hong from China. After the win, Montag said, "I really did have to lift today. The two women behind me were silver and bronze in Tokyo, so it was a great opportunity. It's not just national championships anymore. It's a silver label, high quality meet."
Let's take a look at the key story. Last week, I had the chance to catch up with Heather Harmon Michael, who did one of the best posts we've seen, Bez, as we said in the intro. It was just an amazing way to clap back at a ridiculous internet troll. So I hope you enjoy this chat.
Heather, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so keen to chat to you about this incredible video that you made. It's one of the best clapbacks I reckon I've seen. Can you tell us a bit about your motivation to create this video?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it very clearly struck a nerve with me, I think. As a female myself who has grown up in sport, I think, you know, anybody in that position has had their fair share of comments or, you know, anything that you do as a female athlete is, sure, it's impressive, but you're playing against girls or you're a girl yourself. And it's just never as good as or never on the same level as if male athletes are doing that. So it's something that I, of course, care about deeply, about passionately, sports and women in sports specifically. So anytime I see really anybody, but especially a man coming on the internet and talking about a female athlete and really degrading any of the work that they've done, especially an athlete on the level of Caitlin Clark, it just really strikes a nerve with me. So I had time that day and I thought, you know what, this is a perfect opportunity to just, you know, make the record really clear and just kind of be a voice for, in some, you know, small capacity, but a voice for female athletes everywhere.
It's really interesting. You touched on the fact that it is Caitlin Clark, who is one of the best shooters the game will ever see. There's this assumption that so many of these men hold that even if they have played at a 3-tier, 4-tier lower level than someone like Caitlin Clark, that regardless, they could be better than her.
And that's like my whole thing. It's like, what does that do for you? Like, even if that were true, okay, we like this hypothetical situation, even if you could hypothetically be a better shooter than Caitlin Clark, or you could dog walk Caitlin Clark, like, what does that do for you? Like, that's my whole thing, you know, is just why can women not be great without you feeling the need to insert yourselves in the conversation? Or they always feel the need to, well, she's shooting with the women's ball. Do you know how ratios work? Like, yeah, that's a very normal thing to do, you know? And so that's just my whole thing is like, women can be great at things and men can be great at things. And why do those things ever have to be in comparison with each other? And my whole thing is just, if that does, if you seeing somebody else succeed, whether they're male or female or whatever, and you have some deep hatred within your heart for that person, just internalize that, you know, like other people can take up space and can be good at things. And that doesn't have to take away anything from you. There's enough space for all of us, especially in athletics. And as somebody who claims to be a sports fan, why can you not see greatness and recognize greatness?
I'm living for this chat. We always talk about like little phrases that we want to put on t-shirts. You were just like pulling them out left, right, and center. One of the things I loved, well, one of many of the things I loved about your video is that you came with this approach of not just like talking shit about him as a person and his skills as a basketballer. You were very deliberate in the fact that you were saying, I recognize that you yourself are a very talented player, but I'm challenging mm-hmm. the way that you have approached this situation. What has the feedback been like and how has it been received on socials?
Yeah, it's so funny. And we were chatting a little bit about this before we hit record. But it's funny, there are different reactions on different channels. Of course, I stitched his video on TikTok. So his fans and his people did make their way to my video for sure.
They always do.
Always. Yes, always. And it's so funny because they're commenting like, oh, you're mad. I'm like, no, obviously I'm mad. Like, that's why I recorded the video. Like, that's not a secret. You can tell, you know. But on Instagram, it was much better received. And yeah, I mean, I don't make a habit out of like getting on the internet and calling people out. And like, that's not really who I am. And that's not who I want to be. But it was just such a perfect opportunity to see like, or to use that as an example of this is like two things can be true. And I did that in my video very strategically. I looked him up. I can see he's good at basketball. awesome. I'm good at basketball. You're good at basketball. Caitlin Clark is really good at basketball. That's fine, you know? And so I did try to make it a point to just present the facts as I saw them. And, you know, not degrading him as a person or anything, although I did make a joke about him being 5'6". I will admit to that. But yeah, it's just, you know, my whole intent of that was to just really honestly just spoon feeding empathy to him of like, Caitlin Clark will never hear you. Okay. She'll never hear that you think that you can dog walk her in basketball. And even if she could, whatever. But your mom can hear you. Your sister can hear you. So the whole thing for me was just Caitlin Clark will never hear your comments. She'll never hear that you think that you're better than her. She'll never hear that you could dog walk her in a game of basketball. But your mom will. Your sister will. Your daughter will. Any woman in your life who cares about you and who you care about, she hears you. And when she hears you say those things about women, whether you know them or not, that tells her something. And we internalize that and we hear those things and we think, you know what, you're right. Maybe I'm not that good, or, you know, I'm a girl, so it doesn't matter how good I am anyway. And I just wonder, you know, how harmful that is for the women in your life who do hear you say those things. Caitlin Clark never will. So maybe just give it a rest.
Have you had a response from him at all?
Yes. Oh, for sure. We've gone back and forth a couple of times. So, honestly, I realize now, and just through scrolling through more of his videos and, just that type of content. And it really is, if you're, you know, any amount, if you've ever taken a media literacy class, you can see what's happening right now. And it's this trend of rage baiting. And in a way, shame on me for falling into it, you know, and kind of giving him what he wanted. He got the views, he got, you know, the comments and the engagement. And truly, the more I scroll through some of his videos and just videos like it are, I don't know that you actually believe some of the things that you say, but you get a response out of people like me who do care deeply about these kinds of things. And it's a win-win for you because you get more attention from people who do think like you, and then you get engagement for the ones who don't. And, you know, for some reason, they enjoy that. So shame on me a little bit, but I mean, I stand by everything that I said. And again, it is something that I care deeply about as, you know, a woman in sports. So I don't regret posting it for sure. But now in retrospect, I can see that I kind of fell into the rage baiting a little bit.
I just want to say a massive thank you to you, because as a female athlete myself and someone who runs the female athlete page on Instagram, and the comments that we get sometimes feel mm-hmm. so overwhelming. And I wish I had the energy and the time to pull together something as eloquent as what you did. And I think for me, it felt super empowering. And for so many of our followers, they felt the same, because the way that you approached it was just perfect. So a massive thank you for that. And it did really empower a lot of women. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I mean, I appreciate everything that you do, you know, for women in sport. And again, like, I just think, especially, you know, in American culture right now, there are so many female athletes that are just changing things in American culture. And I know that's the same in Australia and worldwide. I do think, you know, sports is a metaphor for life, and it really transcends the court or the field or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, these conversations are kind of microcosms of the greater culture around us. And that's ultimately why I do think they're important to have. And certainly why, you know, companies and brands that support these conversations and, you know, exactly the things that you're doing with your podcast and with your social platforms is just creating that space. And it's so important. And yeah, I mean, I'm just a very, very, very small piece of it, but I definitely appreciate, you know, getting to chat with you and just even you guys sharing that video. Filled my heart a little bit. So I appreciate it.
That is awesome to hear. And thank you so much for your kind words and for your time. I've absolutely loved chatting with you today. Thanks so much again, Heather.
Of course, you as well. Thank you.
Let's take a look at what to watch. The World Aquatics Championships continue with the action shifting to the pool for the swimmers this week. All events are live and free on 9Now.
The Australia v South Africa cricket series wraps up this week with the test match in Perth. Day one is this Thursday, and the Proteas need a win to draw the series. If you're in WA, make sure you get to the Wacker. Great ground. Cheer the Aussies on. If you're not, all the action will be live on the Seven Network, KO and Fox Cricket.
In basketball, there are only two rounds left in the WNBL before the finals. Wow. This Sunday, be part of a WNBL history-making moment when the Sydney Flames host the Southside Flyers and celebrate Lauren Jackson while looking to break the record for the largest WNBL crowd. Get amongst it. Wear a TFAP t-shirt and we'll see you there to watch the game and cheer on. Get down to Kudos Bank Arena for a 2:45 p.m. tip-off. This Thursday, we've got an athlete interview dropping. When we do surveys and things on our Spotify podcast apps and sometimes on our socials as well, a lot of the feedback we get is that people want to hear more athlete interviews. And admittedly, sometimes when I'm in footy season, it's hard to get that done. We hear your feedback and we're making it happen more and more this year. So this Thursday, we've got an episode dropping with Amanda Hardy, who played badminton for Australia, one of our most successful badminton players ever. She was awesome. She was like an icon when she'd go over and play in China. It was an amazing episode. She's got some incredible stories to share about her time and how she balanced her career in the Victorian Police as well. So make sure you check that one out, dropping Thursday morning, 6 a.m. this week. That's the wrap.
That is the wrap. Happy Tuesday for all of you listening.
Yeah, that one. See you next week.
Bye.